Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Well done. And thus begins our life of faith. It has been quite a week here at St. Luke's. For those of you who don't know, the 7 days before Easter Day are called Holy Week. And we at St. Luke's pack 9 services into those High Holy Days. Generally, these liturgies reenact the final week in the life of Jesus before he was crucified, then rose from the dead. Every single service here was beautiful, each in its own way. The choir was glorious on Good Friday at our noon service. The people who read the Passion Gospel, the story of Jesus' last days, at the Palm Sunday and Good Friday liturgies were first rate. Our preachers led with wisdom and love. The Altar Guild worked wonders with our sanctuary decor and all the vestment changes, and on, it was a lovely Holy Week. But a few things still went wrong. Well, not so much wrong as they were interesting to note. On the eve of Palm Sunday at our Saturday 5 p.m. service, 4 readers read the Passion Gospel outside in our courtyard where we hold the service in warm weather. Since we are right next to Old Town, you can sometimes hear people laughing and shouting. At the point in the story where someone read, "Then one of the disciples struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear," a child next door screamed, "Ah!" On Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, I was pleased to see one of our regular homeless neighbors in the pews at our evening service. I was still in my office after 10 p.m. when I heard this same person talking loudly on the phone on a bench in the courtyard outside my office. "I'm a good Christian," she shouted. Wow, I thought, coming to church really changed her. 2 seconds later, though, she yelled, "I'm gonna have you reported and thrown in prison." A good American Christian, I thought. Our Good Friday noon liturgy featured another reading of the Passion, this time from John's Gospel. Interspersed with the reading were 5 anthems sung beautifully by our choir, along with moments of silence that were ended with my ringing of a little Tibetan singing bowl. What I didn't realize was because I had set the metal bowl on a wooden pew, it really reverberated. And so every moment of silence was concluded by a shrieking peal from hell. Meanwhile, as our readers recited the Passion Gospel, the narrator inadvertently skipped a page, throwing the other readers into confusion. We had gone from Peter denying Jesus only once to Pontius Pilate questioning Jesus at his headquarters. No cock had crowed after Peter's 3rd denial. And everyone knows that if no cock crows, Easter don't come. Realizing I had to do something, I snuck up to the pulpit and whispered, "You skipped a page." Our intrepid, graceful narrator quickly recovered. Later, during a meditative silence, I dropped the bowl's mallet loudly on that same wooden pew. And finally, at the part of the story where Jesus is being laid in the tomb after dying, my cell phone rang. A meditative Good Friday service. As usual, though, we were saved by the choir and the love of Jesus. But why on this most glorious Easter day am I telling you about all these little things that went wrong during Holy Week? Well, first of all, each of them was a gentle reminder that, you know, we are only human. Our best laid plans and rituals will almost always be waylaid by a child's scream. A dropped mallet or a skipped page. The phone will ring, the call will come when we least expect it. And I mean the metaphorical call where God nudges you on the shoulder and whispers, I want you to do that thing you really don't want to. And try as we might to be good Christians, there will always come a time when we will enact our own version of yelling into a phone at 10 p.m. and treating others unkindly. We're only human, which is why we need saving. So thank God for the resurrection. And that's the second reason I am describing all these little mishaps of the past week, because despite all our mistakes and all of our falling short, resurrection comes anyway. Your being perfect is not a prerequisite for the salvation of Christ. In fact, your not being perfect is. Because you are made perfect through God's love. That seed of preciousness planted in you by God before you were even born will spring forth and blossom. And yeah, it doesn't hurt if you water it with good deeds and kindness towards others. And it does help if you don't pile too much manure on it. But God's love will abide regardless. As our preacher noted on Thursday night, Jesus knew at the Last Supper that he would be dead in 18 hours, and what did he do? He washed the feet of his friends to give them one final example of service and love, even washing those of the man he knew would betray him. So the statue of Jesus that hangs above the altar behind me is not just about suffering. It is a reminder of the overwhelming love of God in Jesus Christ. We believe as Christians that Christ came down from heaven to be human so as to be like us, to suffer with us, and to become so intimately involved in the human experience that when he ultimately sacrificed his life for us, his love became indelibly imprinted on our souls. A simpler way of saying that is, Christ became human so that we might become divine. And so his resurrection holds the promise that we too will rise again, imperfect and human though we are. Could I get an amen? The scriptures tell us, and artworks show us, that Jesus retained the scars of his crucifixion, the marks where the nails had been on his hands and feet, which in a way was his retaining a semblance of his humanity. My husband William found a photo online of these Easter cookies someone had made. They were shortbread or Linzer cookies cut into the shape of a hand with a baked-in dollop of dark raspberry jam in the palm. Ew, I remarked. But William simply said, being human was Jesus' jam. I must confess that the final reason I spent half this sermon sharing all the mishaps from last week is that, frankly, I was kind of hoping to ride out the clock and avoid talking politics. It's been particularly difficult to write this year's Easter sermon, given all that's going on in our country. In the past 2 months, whenever I have preached on the news of the day, a few members have mysteriously gone missing. Others have asked me for a heads up on the sermon's theme so they can opt to either stay home or come to church but turn down their hearing aids. Most of you have responded favorably. Still, one person whom I trust suggested I might want to avoid offending all the visitors on Easter Day who, after all, want to have a feel-good experience in church. If you bring all that stuff up, they may not come back, this man told me. You mean like an 8 months at Christmas? Sorry. And so, as my time is almost up, I will leave you with just a few thoughts. Not to minimize the salvation we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, but resurrections happen all the time. Little ones of our own making by the grace of God. Any action against the despair of these days brings hope back to life. 14 of us gathering in a local coffee shop a few weeks ago to send postcards to our congressional representatives. My waking up one morning to hear William in the other room talking to the White House switchboard operator saying, "Tell him he must do all he can to bring Kilmar Abrego Garcia home to his family if he wants to keep our votes." He kind of lied about the vote thing, but still. Praying for people like our friend Chrissy, who lost her job after 14 years with the National Park Service. A job she absolutely loved and was totally suited for. Praying for the 1,700 people killed in Gaza since the ceasefire talks broke down. Each one a precious child of God. Praying for and railing against the incarceration of Venezuelans in El Salvadoran prisons without any due process, and remaining horrified by photos of their being crammed together shirtless on the ground, tightly packed and looking so much like old drawings of men in slave ship holds on the Middle Passage. It is grief we are feeling. The grief of an unrelenting Good Friday. But to resurrect is to not be dead to the world's suffering. I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead early on a Sunday morning just so we could sleep in. Let me leave you with something a bit sweeter. Bittersweet, maybe. I preached last month about Ernesto, a man I know who self-deported to Mexico, where he knows no one and hasn't lived since he was 2 years old. He had considered going into hiding, but his 12-year-old son insisted, "Don't hide. We won't be able to find you, and you'll be running and scared. Just go now. We can visit you there." I received a short video last week filmed by his wife, who went down to visit him with their two boys over their spring break. Ernesto has not yet found work as a handyman, which is what he does so well, so he's applying for a job at a call center. But he has to learn how to type. And the video I got shows his sons trying to teach him through an online program that awards little stars when you do well. Ernesto typed "fabulous" correctly and got 3 chimes for his 3 stars awarded. He smiled, as did his boys. But then he screwed up the next word, got only 1 star, and accidentally said a swear word. The boys laughed, and the mother said, "Such language." Somehow that 30-second video made me feel like they're going to make it through. This may not be the most inspiring story of resurrection out there, but to me it shows resiliency. How we can still hold on to love and connection in even the darkest moments of our lives. Ah, my friends, we are so human. Prone to all the amazing and awful things that word human describes. But resurrection comes anyway. Our job is to rehearse for its arrival, practicing little resurrections, helping one another as best we can, through the hard parts. So happy Easter. May you have fun hunting for Easter eggs. May you enjoy looking pretty and dapper in your dresses and suits. Really. And may you keep the door of your big heart open for any wandering sufferer who might stray inside in need of the compassion and love you were taught by your Savior to give. Amen.